Good morning, this is Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who've been called to various types of ministries in their churches and in their communities. Today, we're here with Dr. Jason Grove. Jason is the senior pastor at Poplar Grove Baptist Church, and Poplar Grove has several services that they would like to invite you to. You can come to Sunday school at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and then worship is at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. Come back on Sunday night at 5:30 and join them in their Sunday night activities. And then on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, you're not going to want to miss their meal. They have a wonderful meal at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. And then at 6 o'clock, they share classes from birth until very, very grown up.
That's right, very mature. Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Thank you for being here, Jason.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you on the show today. So you are from Murfreesboro, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Did you grow up in Murfreesboro?
Yes and no. My mom and dad both worked at the Pentagon, and my dad was transferred to Murfreesboro, to the VA in Murfreesboro. He was with the VA at the Pentagon, and I was about one when they moved to Murfreesboro.
Okay.
And so I lived in Murfreesboro all the way till I graduated college. So, essentially.
Did you go to MTSU?
I did not. I went to Belmont University.
Belmont. There you go. Your parents worked for the Pentagon. Man, I can't imagine what that must have been like. Do you know what they did, or was it a secret?
Dad, they both worked with the VA there. And then Mom, when they came back to Murfreesboro, Mom worked with the Social Security Department. And Dad stayed with the VA.
We are certainly grateful for our veterans and all that we do. And
yes,
grateful
ma'am.
That your parents were incremental in helping their veterans when they came back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
and
you.
For their work in Murfreesboro. That's amazing. Are you a veteran yourself?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah. So you went to Belmont. That's an interesting place to go to school, isn't it?
It is. I was a religion major there. I had been in ministry for several years before going, and God allowed me to go. I had some scholarship help, so that was
a
blessing. Yes, ma'am.
It's crazy how much college costs, isn't it?
I've got three children coming up, and we're starting to think that way. And
oh, my goodness.
Yes, ma'am. Very expensive.
How old are your kids?
12, 8, and 4.
Yeah, it's time to start saving.
Yes, ma'am.
What are their names? Let's say hello to your family.
Jaden is my oldest, Bella is my middle, and Brady is my youngest.
And your lovely wife is?
Holly.
Hi, Holly. Yeah, we're so glad that you're here and able to shout out to them this morning. So who's the easiest child?
They're unique in their own ways.
That's a trick question.
It is. My oldest is so much like me, so we're best friends, worst enemies.
Oh, yeah.
My middle one and my youngest are very similar in their personalities. They're like their mother.
Oh.
So I get along with them better because I don't get along with myself very well through my oldest.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny how that works. Yeah. Yeah. So you went to Belmont, and then where'd you go next?
So I went to seminary, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in North Carolina, where I earned my master's and my doctorate, and pastored a church while we were there. My stories is I've always been in church, whether I was in my mother's womb or outside of it, and I was always God had called me at a very young age, and so I've always been in church, aimed in the direction of doing ministry.
Wow, what did you do in Wake Forest?
It's where I went to seminary, and so we pastored about 100 miles due east of the seminary. And,
wow,
and so I was a full-time pastor.
Yeah.
I would go to school Monday through Thursday and commute back and forth to classes during that time, as well as doing ministry work.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Looking back, God showed much mercy.
Aren't you glad you did that young?
Yes, ma'am.
Because, I don't know, as we get older, it's like, man, I'm tired. I don't want to drive.
Yes, my wife was in nursing school in North Carolina as well. While we were at that point, and so we almost had to fill out visitor cards each time we came home in passing.
I bet so. Yeah. You didn't have children
at that time? No, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. That will be hard.
Yes.
Yeah. So your wife's a nurse. Holly's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holly, for giving that gift to us. That's a hard job too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We both have compassion ministries, and so we have to be wise in how we feel and refill and refuel. and not come home completely empty.
Yeah, self-care is important at your house, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you do to take care of yourself?
We love the outdoors. I love to work out. That's stress relief for me. I go hiking, playing out yard, throwing ball,
cool.
Reading, those types of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, who do you like to read? No, I mean, other than theology, of course,
yeah,
who do you like to read?
A few years ago, I tried to advance my palate because my palate was very narrow.
Okay.
And so I've branched out to... all the genres. I try to force myself to read beyond my comfort zone, and so I try to keep three or four books going that are that range from literature to sci-fi to history, biographies, the whole gamut.
Good for you.
I try to widen my perspective on things.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's great. Good for you. A growing people or a thinking people.
Leaders are readers.
Reading. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jason, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Call. I'm Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're here this morning with Dr. Jason Grove. Jason is the senior pastor at Poplar Grove Baptist Church. And Jason, you were telling us a little bit about where you grew up, a little bit about your life and your family. Tell us now how a kid growing up with parents who were very active with veterans in Murfreesboro ends up at a very young age being called to ministry and then at a church in Cookeville, Tennessee. How old were you, first of all, when you knew God was calling you into ministry?
I was 11 is when I surrendered.
Wow.
I'm a PGK. My mom's a PK,
uh-huh.
And so I'm the grandson of a pastor.
Yeah.
My grandfather lived in Knoxville. We lived in Murfreesboro. We saw them three or four times a year. So I never saw him in his element of preaching, because whenever we would come to visit, he would let me preach and speak. And so I don't know him as a preacher very well. I just know him as Grandpa.
Right.
I don't come from a preacher's family. I don't come from that. I heard very early on, 7, 8 years old, a preacher preach on Jeremiah, where God says, "In your mother's womb, I called you," and that resonated with me. And I said, "That's me. I know I want to do that." And even in elementary school, I would, on the days where your teachers would give you an assignment, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I would write papers. I want to be a professional baseball player, and I want to be a preacher. And
sounds like a perfect combination to me.
And I pursued both of those. Played college level for a couple of years. I was saved, and when I was 9 years old, 2 years after that, I said, "This is what God is calling me. He's calling me to do ministry work, pastoral ministry." And I communicated to the church. I was licensed later that year into the ministry. I began to preach on Wednesday nights, on some Sunday mornings during youth revivals and stuff. And so in my first year, I preached some 30, 40 times.
Wow. Do you remember your first sermon?
I've got my first dozen, and then it's kind of sporadic after that.
Yeah.
And so my father, he worked in the VA. One of the ladies he worked with, she was married to a pastor. He pastored in Woodbury. He was an EMT, and every fifth Sunday he had to be gone because he had to pull a weekend.
Right.
And so I filled in for him one Sunday, and then he contacted me and said, "Hey, how about whenever I'm gone, you just be my stand-in?"
I love it.
And so I was 12 years old. My parents would drive me up. He got very sick as a few years went by. He got very sick, and he had to step aside, and the church asked me, as a 14-year-old, "Would you be our interim pastor?" In the Baptist church, that means just kind of the in-between pastor.
Right.
And so I went there every Sunday, preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, as a 14-year-old. My parents had to take me to church. When I became 16, the church called me as their pastor because now I could drive myself.
Wow.
And that's the church I met my wife. So I was there from when I was 12 until I got married when I was 22. I graduated. So that church saw me go to high school, graduate high school, get married, go to college, graduate college as their pastor.
It's amazing.
And then we went to seminary from there, and since I was 13, 14 years old, I've never not been in a leadership role at a church. I've always been the senior leadership. And so
How does it feel to be 16 years old and responsible for a church?
Looking back, it was just very awkward at some times because I was around people who were. I hadn't even finished puberty at that
point. Right? Yeah, but you were doing it, man.
I was around people who were wiser, and God, I believe there's some churches that they are good training grounds for young pastors, and this was one of those that had good, strong leadership that knew who I was, knew that since the call of God, I was more of their preacher, and they were teaching me to be a pastor.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they did well. I learned a lot. I grew a lot, but it was awkward. It was, I did my first funeral, before I was 16, did my first wedding before I was 16.
Right.
We have some funny stories of me having to go visit people in the hospital, and I couldn't go visit because you had to be 16.
Exactly.
it was unique.
Wow, that's amazing. I cannot imagine. I didn't have the maturity at 16 to do anything.
I don't know if I did either, but that was the path that God gave, and I look back and I regret the parts of having an older man to be able to walk under. And to show me and to teach me, instead of me having to learn almost by mistake sometimes.
Right.
But it's given me a call and a passion to invest in younger men called in ministry now.
That's great. You can mentor those folks the way you were mentored.
Right.
Yeah. And don't you wish that every preacher, every pastor could have an experience like that where they're so well loved by a church that they just are taken under the wing and sort of growing up with that. Faithful cloud of witnesses watching over them.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you. What an amazing story. So you met Holly in this church.
Yes.
So were you Holly's pastor?
It's odd. I know. Yes, I was her pastor, and we had no. So I knew her for about 5 or 6 years, and it was just that I was her pastor.
Yeah,
it was never anything more than that.
Yeah.
And when I was in college is when we began to notice each other. And, I remember one Sunday night, I got up the nerve to say, "Hey, you want to go out for dinner after service?" And so she said, yes. And so we're driving from Woodbury to McMinnville.
Yes.
And Burger King was the place we were headed because there was just not much there at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm driving down the road, and I'd gotten paid that day, and it dawned on me that in my wallet I have a check from getting paid, but I have no money, no cash.
Lovely.
And so I lean over and I say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here, but is there any way you can pay for our meal tonight?"
And she married you anyway.
And she married me anyway.
That's a great story. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're here this morning with Dr. Jason Grove from Poplar Grove Baptist Church, and Jason would like to share a motivational moment.
According to Barna, an overwhelming majority of people say that they have a relationship with God. The question is, what does that term mean? How is that defined, relationship with Jesus Christ? I would argue that some would say that relationship intellectually means one thing, and then functionally, it means something different. But how does the Bible define it? Well, the Bible's definition versus how we define it, I think, is sometimes different. For some, a relationship with Jesus Christ is no different than being second cousin to someone. You just see them ever so often. There's really no deep relationship. For others, a relationship with Jesus means I'm like a neighbor. I go see him when I need him. We hang out. We do fun things, but never really share deep problems and interests. For some, it's like a wayward child that I know him, but I've just kind of been hurt and I've wandered away. Well, how does the Bible encourage us there? Well, Colossians 3, verse 3 and verse 4, I believe provide us a definition for that. It says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." I believe there's our definition. We have four verbs that give us a good explanation of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first verb says, you have died. To have a relationship with Christ means I'm dead to things. I'm dead to certain attitudes. I'm dead to certain motivations. I'm dead to certain behaviors. As a matter of fact, the balance of this chapter, verse 5 and on, explains what I'm to be dead to. So I'm supposed to be dead to things. The next two verbs say that your life is hidden with Christ and He is our life. So not only am I dead to things, but the Bible would say a relationship with Jesus Christ is one in which He is my life. Galatians 2:20 would support that, to say that the life I now live by faith. So that Jesus is my life. Well, what does it mean that He is my life? Well, it means that I live to please Him, that I want to make Him happy. I want Him to be glorified, and I want others to think of Him when they see me do what I do. And Jesus even said that in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are to be salt and light so that men may behold your good works and do what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. So I want to please Him. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to bring Him glory. That's what it means that He is my life. The last verb says that you also will be revealed with Him in glory. To be a follower of Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus, is not only to be dead to things, it's not only to be alive for Him, but it's also to have a hope that there is more beyond this life and beyond this day-to-day endurance race. Jesus says that this life that is set before me is a race, a marathon. And what is the goal? Well, the goal is I will be with Him. Jesus prayed in John 17. He says, I pray that they would be one and that they would behold my glory. So I think that Barna is reminding us, I need to consider, what do I mean when I think of a relationship with Jesus? Have I died to things? Am I living only for Him? Is my hope one day that I will be revealed with Him in glory?
And thank you, Jason. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Dana Hornby, and we're back with The Calling. We're here today with Dr. Jason Groh, and Jason is the senior pastor at Poplar Grove Baptist Church. We want to remind you to come see them on Sundays. Tell us your worship times again, Jason.
We have Sunday school at 9 a.m., worship at 10:15 a.m. That evening we have 5:30 service. We have D groups and such, and then Wednesday we have a 5 o'clock meal and 6 o'clock with all of our classes.
And if you haven't gone online to their Facebook page, do that, because they post pictures of their meals. And I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss these meals on Wednesday nights. You'll get fed first in body and then in soul.
Amen.
Well, Jason, we're back with my favorite part of the show. And it's my favorite part because I get to ask you questions, kind of crazy and unusual questions, and you have to answer them.
That'll work.
You're such a good sport. There is one free pass, or you can plead the fifth, whichever you want to do.
Okay. So, yes, ma'am.
So, okay. So, we know that you have three children and your lovely wife, Holly. So, if you were arrested, what would your children and Holly say that your crime had been? Oh, he's thinking. Well, this is a hard one.
Hopefully that never occurs. Dad was not driving the speed limit. He was under it.
Dad was under the speed limit?
Probably so.
Who would say that? Would Holly say that? Or all the kids?
Probably all the children.
The kids would say that?
Because I don't go, I'll try to go all back roads, and I'm a thinker. And so I like to drive and as the old country word, saner around.
Yes.
And so I like to go where I don't have to go the speed limit. So I can look and think and and as such.
You know, I've heard a lot of answers to that question, but never that answer. Always like a road rage or driving too fast, but no. So
yeah, I'm the old man in the young skin, I guess.
Patton County Sheriff, if you're listening, Jason is abiding the speed limit. Yes. So you have a 12-year-old, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about teaching that child to drive?
I pray the last few verses of Revelation 22, even so, Lord, come quickly. I'm trying to take notes from other parents in our church who are at that stage or just beyond that stage, and
yeah,
it frightens me.
Well, you know, they start driving young because they get their permit at 15.
Yeah, we've been practicing in the driveway here and there,
yes.
and it's there's hope. But it's very unnerving. There's fear on both sides of the seats.
Yes, absolutely. That's hysterical. Okay, Jason, would you rather be able to fly, or would you rather be invisible?
Sir, definitely fly.
Where would you go?
One would be up.
Would you have wings, or would you have like engines?
Probably engines.
Because
I like the, not necessarily the speed, but just the torque of the engines.
Okay, so you would go really high.
I would go high for perspective. I think there's just great things from when I get in my funks, if I could gain greater perspective, that helps me maintain a proper view of where I am. And so
yeah.
I would like perspective or height, and then I'd probably go to all the ancient landmarks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be wonderful. What puts you in a funk that you need to sort of get away?
The cares of others.
Mm-hmm. Pastor life is hard. A lot of burdens
that
to carry.
We may not always get calluses on our fingers, but our wagons do carry weight. And so that would do it. Sometimes just an imbalance of my time management, not enough margin. I'm a burn the candle at both ends kind of fella.
Yeah.
And I'm a night owl and an early bird, so I don't require a lot of sleep, but sometimes that can get out of balance myself.
Well,
so,
how much sleep do you get a night?
4 to 5 would be
wow,
kind of an average. And then every now and then a 6 or 7 would get dropped in.
You are burning the candle at both ends. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's see, Jason. What is your most embarrassing moment?
One time I was preaching, and I said, I was preaching on David and Goliath, and the text says that Goliath's spear was like a weaver's beam.
Okay.
And when I spoke, I said that his spear was like a beaver's wing. And when I said it, it was one of those, something didn't sound right, but I didn't know exactly what. So I made the mistake of stopping, and everybody caught up. And so I got emails the following week of pictures of beavers with arrows.
Oh, that's great.
Is this a beaver's wing?
Oh, that's great. Did the congregation laugh?
Oh, yes. And it was one of those, I was on the verge of getting the church giggle.
Oh, man,
and
those are the worst.
And most of my faux pas are there. They're from the pulpit. And early in my ministry, I was heckled for preaching too long. And so one day I was preaching, and my wife was trying to communicate to me on the front row, and
yeah,
she said she was mouthing "zip it up," but she was thinking completely different than myself, because evidently my zipper was down.
Oh.
And so she was trying to get me to step behind the pulpit.
Actually, zip it up, buddy.
And I stopped preaching, and I said, I know y'all want me to zip it up, but God's given me this message. And
that is great.
And she put her hand on her head like, you. Mm-mm.
Oh. You know, I don't think we're going to top that answer. That's great.
So it was.
That is awesome.
It wasn't pleasant.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Okay, Jason, have you ever texted the wrong person?
Yes, I have.
How'd that work out?
Not good. Not good. It's not so much that, but it's more so I do a lot of dictation.
Okay.
And I don't always enunciate well. I've got a southern drawl,
a southern
and whatever.
Thing, yeah.
And so
I
fail to proofread. And so sometimes it's not I send it wrong people, but I send it to the saint the right person, but it's not exactly what I said.
That is unfortunate.
So that's happened.
Have you been able to come back from that?
Yes, but they don't let me live that down.
No.
Nor would I.
Nor should they. They should not let you live that down. No. Okay, Jason, you've been such a good sport. Last question. Do you have Netflix?
We do.
What's your favorite Netflix show?
I'm an Andy Griffith man.
Oh.
I'm back in the 60s.
I love that.
I grew up with it and just kind of hung around and so I don't watch a lot of TV. I just kind of watch that and reminisce.
Is Andy your favorite character on there? Because there's so many to choose from.
There are
Ernest T.
Hey,
love that guy.
He's I probably like him because my wife and children like to recite a lot of his lines, and so they all have equal value in their own unique way.
What a wholesome show, right? Just a good family show to sit down and just marathon on a Saturday. That's awesome.
Ma'am.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, you are an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show today and discussing your years in ministry and your ongoing ministry at Poplar Grove Baptist Church.
Thank you.
We are very happy that you've been here. Each week, we'll introduce you to members of the community who followed their call to serve. I'm Dena Hornby, and this has been The Calling.